Please open to page 167 in the front of the hymn book. And we will begin with Luther's morning prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray you to protect me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. We are in the midst of the celebration of the season of Epiphany, which is sometimes called the Christmas for the Gentiles, the people who are not Jewish. It reminds us of the wise men who came to worship the Christ child when he was very young. We celebrate that on January 6th, and the wise men were Gentiles, not Jewish. Epiphany means manifestation, showing forth of Christ as the God and Savior of all the world. It reminds us that he is God with us, God for us. And he shows his divine power by miracles of healing, and especially by his miracle of salvation, becoming our substitute and dying in our place. Many hymns talk about Christ as the Savior of the nations, the Savior of the Gentiles. Let's begin by singing hymn 90, verses 1, 2, and 5. This coming Sunday is the presentation of our Lord and the purification of Mary, February 2nd, sometimes called Candlemas, because of Christ being the light of the world. It is 40 days since Jesus' birth, and all the Israelites, all the Jewish people, had to redeem their firstborn, buy back their firstborn on the 40th day, the firstborn male on the 40th day, because they were spared when God slew the firstborn in Egypt. And if they did not offer their child, of course, they would have to offer a sacrifice. And that was the purpose, that Christ was brought to the temple with the sacrifice of two turtle doves because Mary and Joseph were poor people. And it was at that occasion where we read of Simeon and Anna. Simeon had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would see the Christ child, that he would see the Messiah before he died. And so he sings that wonderful song, "Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for my light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people of Israel," because he had seen the Lord's salvation in that Christ child. We have hymns that speak of that also. Let's turn to hymn 151, verses 1, 3, and 4. Hymn 151.
Thank you.
And the text tells us that Simeon and Anna were telling others of the consolation of Israel, telling others of the Savior who was to come. They were speaking that message and sending out into the whole world that Christ is the Savior. And the message is the message of cross and suffering that tells us that Christ would be the one to take our pains in his body on the cross. And if you look around the chapel, you will find many types of crosses. You will find the traditional Western Latin cross, what's taller than it is wide. You'll find crosses that are equally high and wide, called Greek crosses. On the altar, you will see a Jerusalem cross. There are four crosses, actually five. You have the big cross and then the four crosses of the four in the four corners, telling us that there were four gospel writers that preached this message of Christ and his cross, and also that that message goes out to the four corners of the world, four directions, that the message of the cross is for all people. And St. Paul tells us of the central nature of that cross and that message and what it means to us who are believers. He writes in 1 Corinthians, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And it is this message of the cross that is the Christian message, the central message of the Christian faith, the saving message that makes a difference so that Jesus isn't just our friend or our neighbor or our buddy, but he is our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who paid the price that we might enjoy heaven with him. Please turn now to hymn 182. And one of the verses, a couple of the verses of that hymn speak very clearly about the cross being central in our Christian faith. Hymn 182, and you have to turn one more page to verses 8 and 9, I believe. 182. This message is the same for believers of all time. Sometimes we get the impression that the Old Testament is the Jewish faith, the Old Testament faith, the faith of works, the faith of all those customs, and that the New Testament is something completely different. But it isn't in some ways. It is the same message for all, because Abraham was saved by faith and the promise of God that he would be the father of the Savior to come. And Adam and Eve and Isaac and Jacob and David and Joseph and all of the believers of the Old Testament, we are one with them. And we look forward to being with them in that great gathering of heaven. The message of Christianity is not just for a select few, it is for all. And we turn now to hymn 200, and this hymn talks about people coming from all over the world and joining in that great, marvelous song of heaven. Hymn 200, verses 1, 4, and 7. And as we think of this message of the cross that is preaching faith in Christ to all believers, we look forward to that message being preached throughout the whole world. And so we sing hymn 193, verses 1, 3, and 6.